call this meeting of the House Committee on Economic Development to order for Monday, June 3rd, 2019. I'm going to open an informational hearing on Oregon Main Street, and our first panel is Christine Curran, Curry Gill, and Sherry Stewart. You come to the microphone and introduce yourselves for the record, please.
Good afternoon. Chair Lively, members of the committee, my name is Chrissy Curran. I am a deputy director for Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and I'm in charge of the Heritage Programs Division there at Oregon State Parks. And Oregon Heritage, which is what we call ourselves, the Heritage Programs Division, includes, along with Oregon Main Street, the State Historic Preservation Office, otherwise known as SHPO. It also includes Historic Cemeteries Commission and the Oregon Heritage Commission. I wanted to say thank you for inviting us here today to talk about Oregon Main Street. You'll find out why we love to talk about this program once we start ticking through our slides. It's a very positive program, and it's sort of where the pedal hits the metal when it comes to historic preservation and economic development. I wanted to just give you a brief, you can roll back, Jared, just for a second. Yeah, that one still. Just to tell you a little bit about the Oregon Main Street program, it was originally, some of you might remember the name Oregon Main Street from back in the 1980s and 1990s when ODDA, Oregon Downtown Development Association, ODA, back in the day. ODA was the original iteration of Oregon Main Street in 1981. And we had five Main Street cities back then: La Grande, Hillsborough, Bend, Klamath Falls, and the Dalles. And ODDA became Livable Oregon, and eventually in 2002, they discontinued their association with the National Main Street Group. It was reestablished by the legislature in 2007, and it was originally part of Business Oregon. And then it was jointly administered with the SHPO from 2009 until 2011, when Business Oregon decided to, they shifted their focus to growing the traded sector industries. So we have had the Oregon Main Street program since that time. And one of the things that makes it such a great fit for the Heritage Division is that it is a it's sort of a continuation of our local government programs that we offer at Heritage Programs Division. So just as, this is just a slide that talks a little bit about how we're organized at Oregon Heritage. The historic preservation piece and the archaeology piece, that's largely the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO, and then Oregon Main Street and Oregon Heritage Commissions and Historic Cemeteries lives in the outreach program. And one thing we love about Oregon Main Street is that it goes that next step. Once you designate a historic building, how do you keep it in use? And one of the neat things about the revitalization grant for the Oregon Main Street program is that you don't have to be listed in the National Register to be an Oregon Main Street community or to take advantage of those dollars. So it's a very inclusive program. As long as you're part of the Oregon Main Street network, that the application door is open. And with that, I am going to turn it over to the smart people that actually run this program, and I will let them introduce themselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Lively and committee members, thank you for having us here. I'm Sherry Stewart. I coordinate the statewide Oregon Main Street program. I've been with the program since 2009 here in Oregon. Oregon Main Street uses the nationally recognized comprehensive approach to downtown revitalization. It's essentially economic development within the context of historic preservation, or what I'd like to think of as asset-based economic development. The Federal Economic Development Administration has called this the most effective tool for downtown revitalization because of its comprehensive nature. This methodology was developed by the National Main Street Center, which is part of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. It's a subsidiary nonprofit of that organization. It's really a practical approach based upon local resources and self-help. This common sense approach is being used in over 2,000 communities nationwide. Main Street is a registered trademark of the National Main Street Center, and the Oregon Main Street Program has a contract with the National Main Street Center to use this methodology in our state. Even though we have to follow some of the strictures of this national methodology because of its comprehensive approach, each state, when it's formed, can develop its own system and its own way of serving the communities based upon this structure. In Oregon, we wanted to reach the broadest range of communities as possible, so we developed what we call a tiered approach to this program. We have right now four tiers, depending on where communities are, so some that are just beginning or have an interest to what we call our fully designated performing Main Street communities. Currently, we have 87 communities that are participating in the Oregon Main Street Network at one of these four different levels. We offer a broad range of technical assistance, so we're on the ground working with these communities to help them develop their own approach to how they want to revitalize based upon their goals and objectives, their assets, and their market data. So our technical assistance is really geared towards providing help at that local level. We also offer training, and we have a an annual recognition program in place that recognizes the best new business, building rehab projects, and a lot of other things as well. I think one of our most important roles is essentially serving as a resource center of information and connections to communities that are participating in our network. I know when I started my career 30 years ago, working at the local level, that was one of the most essential. Yes, I started when I was 12. One of the most essential functions of the state program is really to be that connector and that provider of resources to communities. In Oregon, our Main Street track, and in your packet of information, there's a list of all of the communities that are currently participating in our network. We have our top three levels. Technically, they're called our Exploring Downtown, Transforming Downtown, and Performing Main Street. I call them our Dating, our Engaged, and our Married levels. And then we have our Associate level as well. Those are our acquaintances. Our Associate level communities are ones that are interested in downtown revitalization, but aren't really interested in using the Main Street model, or aren't ready to use the Main Street model right now. It's only with the Main Street track that we're really engaged on site and working with our communities. Any community, when Curry talks about our Oregon Main Street Revitalization Grant Program, is eligible to apply. So regardless of if you're an associate or a Main Street track community, all of our communities are eligible to apply. Beginning in 2010, I started with the program, as I mentioned, in 2009. We hadn't been keeping track of the impact that we were having with our program. So beginning in 2010, we began tracking data from our top level communities. At that time, there were eight performing Main Street level communities. And then in 2011, we began adding in our transforming downtown level communities. So we track a variety of data points. So on a quarterly basis, our communities have to submit information on the number of new businesses that are opening, the number of jobs that are created, the number of businesses that are closing, the number of jobs that are lost, as well as a variety of other data points. So we track these. Frankly, when we first started tracking it, we were still in the economic downturn, and I wasn't expecting positive numbers. But year over year, in all of our top-level communities, we've had new jobs being created, net new jobs being created, net businesses opening. We've had investment, private sector and public sector investment in our communities. And I know in my travels around Oregon, that wasn't the case in a lot of the communities that I was going through. So our impact, we've had close to $98 million in private sector improvements and building improvement projects. Those are both small scale as well as large scale projects. So everything from paint and signage up to full building rehab projects. We've had over $104 million in public sector improvements. We've had 650 net new businesses open in our top tier communities, 124 business expansions, and we've created over 3,200 net new jobs in our Main Street districts. And we've had over 1,100 building rehab projects take place in our Main Street districts. So there is investment happening in the local level. We're also proud that over 207,000 volunteer hours have gone to their main streets. Only at the top level do we require a full-time staff person, but the rest of the effort on the downtown revitalization efforts in our communities is all led by volunteers. And you'll hear from a couple of those folks later in our presentation. So we're proud of the statistics that we've gathered, and that doesn't even tell the whole story, because there is improvements happening in our exploring downtown and our associate level communities, but we just don't track those because those are 100% volunteer, and we really want to preserve the integrity of the data that we do collect. So I'll turn it over to Curry.
Hi, Chair Lively and committee members. I'm Curry Gill. I'm the Grants and Outreach Coordinator for Oregon Heritage, so I have the pleasure of managing this grant program. And seeing the results of it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information today about the program specifically. In 2017, we were able to implement the program that was approved by the legislature in 2015 when the grant program and the fund was established, and it was initially funded through the sale of lottery bonds in that package for $2.5 million. And we kicked it off. And happily, this program is connected with the Oregon Main Street Network, which gives us a really great opportunity to help support these organizations in applying for the grant. So we did a year's worth of training and materials development and support for them so that they would be ready to apply when the applications opened. So the purpose of the Main Street Grant Program. Thank you. There are two components. So one is based around the project, which is to acquire, rehabilitate, or construct buildings in downtown areas. The statewide emphasis was clear in the legislation, as was the emphasis for reaching to rural communities. And then the other area was really about the purpose of this work. So it's not just to rehab a building, but that work would facilitate community revitalization with a focus on economic development. So we have seen it work as a very nice marriage, and it also helps us manage the grant program. It's a competitive grant, so they need to, when they apply, build the case for how this project not only does the work on the property, but contributes to that economic development locally. So I went through a little bit of the history already. The timing is a very interesting thing. So when in 2015, when it was approved, then everybody was scrambling and wanting to apply for it. It did trigger some renewed interest in the Main Street Network, and some folks did join on who had previously sort of slid off the ranks and weren't quite as active. And then we were... during that period of orientation, a lot of people weren't really ready yet for this opportunity. It's a fairly good sizable amount of funds for small organizations to manage and projects to be prepared for. So they were really hoping, if they weren't quite ready for the 2017 round, they were really hoping that something would come through later. And thankfully for them, it did. So in 2017, we had the allocation of the $5 million that then we could award in 2019. So we have completed the grant cycle and award process. So I'll get to tell you a little bit about what was selected in this round and a little bit about the differences between the 2 years and how we implemented that. So the max award in 2017, because it was all new, we were figuring it out, we made $100,000 with the increase in funds from the next round for the awards for 2019, we increased it to $200,000 per project available. And in a few minutes, or a few seconds, I will tell you the difference in what that meant in the two grant rounds. So the type of projects that can be funded by this are rehabilitation, and as Chrissy mentioned, it doesn't have to be a historic property. It can be new infill, it can be purchase of property. So this rehabilitation part of it is for any kind of property, not historic necessarily. We have seen a lot of emphasis on facade improvements. Quite a bit. I think the next level in would be the rehab of second floor and developing residential. And then along with those, both of those seismic upgrades have happened in those. And then loads and loads of structural repairs and electrical and plumbing and those kinds of things that you need to just be able to be in a building. We're seeing buildings that have been vacant for decades. So that work has to happen. If they touch the building at all, that's a requirement. So it's been nice. It's not the pretty stuff that people generally like to fund. So it's nice to be able to give them that structural support of the basics. Compatible new construction. So if they have an empty lot and they want to build something that's appropriate and fits with their local plan, that is eligible. The other thing that they can do with this, because this is a Main Street organization with a plan, hopefully, they can actually combine projects and theme them together. And we're going to talk about one that came through this year, but it's possible to have more than one property connected, and then you can install a shared elevator or a grouping of facades or fire sprinklers, different things like that. So it's kind of neat because it's not just about one property necessarily. It's about this organization thinking about the needs of their downtown and how to spur that economic development and vitality, and what are the things that they can do creatively to serve more than one property and increase and address those goals.
Excuse me, Representative Bonham.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Lively. So curious about this plan. Every downtown is unique, I would imagine. And so who specifically is creating this vision of what the plan is and what the needs are? How do you determine what that new construction could be that would fit the plan? I'm really baffled by, because for me, I'm such a market guy, right? And if there's a need that business sees in a community, they're gonna come and fill the need and start a new business to fill the need. But this group of people that have a vision, I guess, right? Who are they?
All right, Representative Lively, Representative Bonham, thank you for that question. It's one of the critical pieces for this grant program. Those people essentially should be that Main Street organization, hopefully in partnership and through reaching out to their community. So generally the ones that are successful and have a very strong plan are working with the city and other economic drivers in the community and the community citizens the property owners and other businesses to determine what that plan is. In some cases, they've had market analysis done. They have worked, especially the cities have been really engaged with a lot of them, helping them determine what are those needs, what kinds of businesses should we have come in here, what kinds of, like, what's their overall goal, if there's tourism or retail development or restaurant development. And so they have developed this plan, and the most competitive grant applications can talk about how they went about that, and how they can use that to support the value of this project. So that the Main Street organization is the critical piece there. That's the work that they're doing anyway, and they should be looking for projects that address those plans. Does that help enough?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think what you're telling me, though, is it's, you know, it's anywhere from the economic development district of the city to the private citizens that are building a coalition together to come up with this plan.
Representative Lively, Representative Bonham, yes, and every community is different. So right. Sherry gave that long list of organizations. Generally, the higher tier ones, the performing and transforming, are moving into being their own organization. In some cases, the organization is actually the city entity or a chamber of commerce or some other organization that does not do just Main Street.
Urban renewal. And
yes. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, and then the last point is acquisition of property, and we've actually had that a couple of times through this grant program, one you'll hear about more deeply in a little bit. So eligibility, the applicant organization has to be a Main Street Network organization. So in some cases, as I mentioned, the city might be that entity. Sometimes it's a private 501c3 nonprofit or other kind of nonprofit. So they have to be a Main Street organization. Then the work also has to be within the Main Street boundary. So when they submit to be a Main Street organization, they submit a boundary that's approved when they're approved as a Main Street organization. So the work has to be on a project that's within that boundary. There is a match requirement. This was adjusted, so this was one of the changes between the two grant cycles, because people were very confused when their project was really a larger chunk of money. The match did not make sense to them. So currently, the match requirement is 30% of the award. So if they are awarded $200,000, it's a $60,000 match. And at least 50% of the funds go to rural areas. So those are the requirements. You'll see that many, many more go to rural than 50%. And then these are the grant priorities. The projects that are in Main Street, transforming downtown and exploring downtown communities are a higher priority. Projects within Main Street communities that are also certified local governments or have national registered district in their Main Street district. Areas with the greatest need for revitalization and economic development. Need was a very clear requirement in the legislation, so we're very aware of addressing that, which is one of the things that makes this different from a traditional preservation-only grant program. Projects with a well-prioritized work plan, we want to make sure they can pull this off, so that is important. Projects in traditionally underserved communities, so this could be the rural question, but it could also be communities within larger cities that are traditionally underserved as well. Geographic diversity, you'll see more about this, but we really want to try to spread these funds across the state as much as we can. And project readiness, which has to do with the work plan some, but also includes having match in place, having local support for it, and things like that.
Representative Drazen.
Chair, so what is the match requirement for this? You said having the match in place, but I somehow missed the match requirement, 50%. 50% go to rural areas, 30% match requirement. Oh, it's also in-kind and volunteer time? Huh. Thank you.
Okay.
So the grant review committee, we have a fairly large committee who review the applications and provide recommendations to the State Historic Preservation Officer, who makes the final decision. That's all in the legislation and the rule. And so we have Business Oregon members, Oregon Department of Transportation members. DLCD was on this last time, which was really helpful. They have grant programs, so it's nice to have a look from some other entities that are managing grants. Main Street organizations that aren't applying, other preservation specialists and experts, depending on, we kind of look at what applications come in and if there are a lot. So if we would maybe get a lot of seismic, we might bring somebody in who could specifically address that issue. So we look carefully at who should be at the table for that. So the breakdown of awards, this is the comparison from 2017 to 2019. You'll notice that we didn't have many, many more applications. We have people, you know, that are trying to work in their communities and look at their plans and find willing property owners and get all their ducks in a row. So that was a good sign to us that the intent of increasing the award amount was probably a good idea, and that the impact on the individual projects could be greater that way and might leverage a little bit, or some projects that might not have been pulled off if it had been at that lower amount. So we also had one, you'll notice the $5,244,000. So we had one applicant from the first round that canceled before we did this selection process. So we just put those funds into the second round so that we could award those out. We also added a question to the application that addressed inclusion and being welcoming in your downtown. And so that was one of the new pieces of this, in addition to the change in match. Otherwise, it stayed largely the same. We felt like the work addressed what was intended with the grant program. We did notice a small increase in quality of applications. We had 7 applicants that had not applied in the past, so that was exciting to see new communities coming in with new projects, and 6 of those 7 were actually selected for award. These are the locations of the 2017 grant recipients. As I said, we try to aim across the state, so it's pretty rare that we award more than 1 or 2 grants per community. So that is considered at the end when we're looking at our priorities to make sure that that this goes all over the state. Committees we have found with communities, we have found with a really clear selection process locally, where they have looked at their plans and they have looked at the goals for the grant program and selected one project that then they focus on making a very strong application and case for. Those tend to be more successful than the communities that submit multiple projects. So now I will tell you about a few of the projects that were awarded in 2017 and completed. So they have 3 years to complete, so I don't have all of them done yet. They are working at it. So this is in Burns, the Central Hotel, which was not abandoned, but empty for decades. And they decided that they needed some downtown lodging and also just to make this building look better. It's sort of toward one end of the main street, and so people see this as one of the earlier buildings that they see as they come through. So it included bringing the 2-story building in downtown back to life with 12 hotel rooms on the upper level and 3 to 4 retail opportunities on the main level, and those retail ones are filled. They have also created some valuable event space in the community and have been filled. for events and lodging since they opened about a year ago now, actually. Mm-hmm. So this was a clear piece of their plan, which was to update their dilapidated buildings. That was one of their primary goals in Burns, and try to encourage people to, you know, stop and look as opposed to just getting gas and driving through. This one used about $125,000 in private investment in addition to the grant program. Then we have Chapters in Newburg, which was essentially a facade renovation grant. This this project would not have happened without this grant program. The property owners had wanted to do this for a very long time, had not been able to pull off making it happen. And the change is drastic both on the exterior and on the interior. You can see the light when you're in there is incredible. Newburg has been a very active Main Street organization and has worked on other facade projects in the past, and this one was high on their list. It's another one that's sort of at the end of their downtown area, so it can help draw people down past other places to get there, and it's much more compelling in opening this way. So one of their primary goals in the city was redevelopment of older and historic buildings. And it had about a little over $50,000 in private investment there. And then this property in Port Orford was actually one of the purchase grants. We had two purchase grants in 2017. The other one was in John Day. And this one, they're a scrappy bunch in Port Orford. And what had been there originally in front of the garage doors in that area was a building that was falling down, essentially. And they were able to remove the remains of that building and then purchase this property and fix it up and do sort of a pocket park with murals and other art. Their focus for their Main Street organization is art, and that's what gets people to stop in Port Orford. Again, another place where we don't want people to just keep driving through. So this has been an eyesore for years. More than 25 volunteers worked to transform it into one of the best places on Main Street, with new benches, planters, and brightly painted buildings, and space for two businesses. Now people regularly sit on the benches or the sitting walls. They get food, takeout from local businesses, and hang out there. It was also funded, this work to clean up was funded in part by a TLT grant from the city and an AARP grant, the Ford Family Foundation, and local donations. So this leveraged a lot of other support, and we see that happen pretty regularly in these Main Street communities. They also have been approved for a second grant in 2019 for repurposing a vacant bake building on Main Street. The grant for outside improvements, together with a federal grant for inside improvements, will allow for needed medical care in Port Orford. The building will have a pharmacist, a dentist, a general practice doctor on the premises. None of these services are currently available in Port Orford, so it's going to add jobs and service benefits. According to Karen Auburn, the Main Street coordinator there, the Main Street revitalization grants help us toward our goal to make our Main Street become a place people want to be that is economically viable and measure up to the natural beauty of this small but poor city. And I will pass it back to Sherry for some other ones.
In Reedsport, the Burdick Building, this was a really exciting project to me. We were having a little bit of trouble getting some traction in Reedsport just because the cycle of disinvestment had been going on for so long, and there were a number of vacancies in the downtown. This particular project, the upper floor had been sitting vacant again for decades. It had five rundown spaces for apartments. So the $100,000 grant provided funding to renovate those spaces. The property sold recently, and as soon as it sold, all five of those apartments were rented immediately, indicating that there's a need not only for housing in Reedsport, but specifically a need for downtown housing. I think one of the exciting things about this particular project is because of that spiral of disinvestment, people had been reluctant to invest in the community, and this demonstrated that with a little bit of investment and creating some of these improvements, it encouraged other people to look at downtown Reedsport, and now a number of other properties are being renovated as well. A second grant for 2019 was also given to the Reedsport Main Street program. This was an interesting project. What has been holding back renovation of several of the buildings or damage to roofs and water damage to the buildings, and not just a simple roof repair, but extensive damage that was creating some structural issues. And so this grant will be doing roof and awning repairs on multiple buildings and allowing businesses to open up. I know in a couple of cases, businesses have been wanting to open but weren't able to get their occupancy because of the deteriorated condition of the roofs and the structural damage that has been created. The second project that I'll mention is the Carlton and Coast Tavern in downtown Carlton. Carlton is really a quaint downtown, but only part of the downtown has seen some investment. Another piece of the downtown has had a 70% vacancy rate by square footage, and that included the block that this particular building is on. It was formerly a Safeway building, but had been housing a bar for a number of years, and that's been the use. But there had been a series of poor repairs and bad remodels that really left it in bad condition. The owner started renovation on it with the intent of running the bar as they were making improvements, but they kept running into a lot of issues like backed up toilets, breakers being tripped, water trickling through the roof. So they ended up having to close the business and come up with a plan to do the repair. At that time, the Main Street grant was available and enabled them to move forward with the building rehab and really create a vibrant space downtown. I drove through on my way back from Yamhill a couple of weeks ago, and people were sitting out front, and it was really activating a part of the downtown that had been really quiet for a number of years. And the last one, I believe, that I will mention under the 2017 is a project in Oregon City. This was an exciting project. It was on 99 corner of the downtown and 99, an area that's really highly visible. And so this was kind of like your welcome to the district. The couple that bought this, Danielle and Roland, they bought it in 2016, and they wanted to really bring back the historic character. But what happens when you get into these projects is they ran into a lot of unexpected improvements. They thought it was going to take 6 months, and it ended up not being the case. And it was going to be put on the block indefinitely. But with the ability to apply for the Main Street grant and getting some of that funding, they were able to move forward with the project and transform the building into this really lovely light and airy interior that's now serving as a real welcoming to the downtown.
Curry-Gill again. For the 2019 grant program, we only have the applications mapped for you because we are in the process of doing the agreements. And until we have all the agreements in, our system won't make a map that's complete. So there's the map of the applications. And then there's a sampling here of the kinds of grants that were funded in this grant cycle or selected for funding. Several housing ones, as I mentioned, were a high point in this. Also, theater projects were a high point. Lakeview was able, their Main Street organization has been working since actually the 2017 grant cycle, knowing that this program could exist, to pull together the local resources to make the match and get the community support to buy the Alger Theater, which they have great plans for. And then Staten Is doing one of those ones that I mentioned where they're combining multiple properties and getting benefit for multiple businesses and property owners with a facade grant.
This is Sherry Stewart again. A couple of the projects that were recently awarded was the facade project, as Curry mentioned, in Staten. This is an exciting one for downtown. We did a community planning process last summer, and one of the goals out of that was to see some of these facades completed, both by the community via the community survey, where 100 community members responded. This was a priority block. So we were excited to see this application. This will complete facade improvements on 7 of the 9 properties within the downtown. Another one we're excited about is the recreation building in downtown, the Dalles. And this is a building that sat largely vacant for about 10 years in a part of downtown that is just starting to see some reinvestment. And the goal is to restore the 3 historic storefronts that were originally there to create space for new retail and some recreation uses as well. So. And then finally, the Look Building in Enterprise. This, again, is a really important project for this really small community. This building is sitting on the intersection of highways and really visible in downtown Enterprise. Very, very large building. It's taking up a significant portion of the block on 2 sides. This particular project will see the creation of 8 upper floor apartments in a space that's been sitting vacant for decades. There will also be 3 short-term units for rental, and we'll also see the complete facade improvements on both of the block frontage. We'll also include some energy efficiency. Energy costs in rural areas, especially in Eastern Oregon, can be a barrier for businesses to locate. So this is going to be a really important project for them. We'll introduce our next 2 panelists. We have Kendall Bell from Klamath Falls. She's a city council person, but I know her in her role with the Klamath Falls Downtown Association. She started that organization a number of years ago and has been instrumental in the downtown revitalization processes. And the other person that we're inviting up to speak is Rob Crocker. He was a founding member with the Downtown Oregon City Association. He's a business and property owner in downtown Oregon City. And now he's working on multiple projects in other communities, particularly in Reedsport and Coos Bay area. So, Robin.
Very Kendall. Good. Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Lively, I'm Kendall Bell from Klamath Falls, Oregon, and I, like Sherry said, was one of the founding members of our organization, Klamath Falls Downtown Association, probably in around 2010. I can honestly say every great thing we've done in downtown in the last 10 years is attributed to what we've learned at our workshops and our conferences and touring other cities to give us an inspiration. So I really want to give a big plug to our program. I feel like, because I'm a little bit of a geek, I've explored some other organizations in other states, and I truly feel like our local Oregon Main Street program is one of the strongest in the nation. I am a part of a family who's owned a business on Main Street for over 80 years and have had a few in between there, so I have a lot of skin in the game. I was president of our organization for a couple years. Now I'm an ex officio and our design chair. That's one of the 4 points of the Oregon Main Street program. We were full in from the very beginning. The education and training has been very extensive and very relevant. And I, in particular, love going to other communities and learning what they have had success with and what they have learned not to do. And that's been a big inspiration for our community. One thing that we are trying to do locally is change our historic preservation culture. That's a big part of the Oregon Main Street program, and it's one that we have not had locally in Klamath Falls. So we're really working on that. We've gained a lot of support from other organizations as we have created some, we've gained legitimacy in our community, and that's all because of the structure that the Oregon Main Street program has provided us. We were a recipient in 2017, and to address Representative Bonham's question about the plan, long before this grant was even available or known to us, we started exploring the idea of downtown residential. So with our technical assistance grants through the Oregon Main Street program, we had workshops, we brought in national gurus in the that educated our community in the benefits of that downtown housing. And since you're an economic development group, I think it's important to know that one thing that resonated with me right off the bat was that every resident you put into your downtown, they will spend about $9,000 a year in your small businesses. And I'm a real advocate for small businesses. So that really adds up and was kind of our big motivator. So with all this community education going on, and then when this grant was presented, it was a very natural step for us to say, let's put this towards housing. The city had started to buy in. They did a citywide housing needs assessment 4 years ago and said, yep, we're chronically short of housing. So let's get behind these efforts. So we've really gained a lot of local support. The apartment building you're seeing there was vacant for 20 years, and it was recently turned into 10 apartments. They were rented almost immediately and have been a great asset. They're only half a block from our main street. Another project that same year was, another comment about this project, they were able to do an exterior elevator that also reactivated six office spaces right next door. So it was one of those joint programs, kind of a bonus. And the other project was actually on our main street. Again, it was it is going to be 11 new units right in our center of our downtown. And so we're very excited about that. They will take occupancy in July. We applied again this year, and we kind of upped our game a little bit as far as really. Well, our award was a little bit higher this year, and we were very grateful for that. It'll put four new apartments right in our center of our downtown. And it's a project that has been on the books for many, many years, and the building owner just wasn't able to make it work. One thing that we deal with in small communities, construction costs aren't any cheaper than Portland, Salem, Eugene, but our lease rates are much lower. So making them pencil is almost impossible. So these grants are essential for that. The other things that we see as a benefit from the housing, it utilizes empty space, obviously, increases our tax base, which is much needed in Klamath Falls. Obviously, the revenue for the small businesses that are aligning the street. But one of the other big benefits to the housing that we are looking forward to is that these are the eyes on the street. We're very much we're fairly vibrant between 8 and 3. Afternoons, early evenings and weekends, it's very quiet. And so then that's when activity happens that you really don't want to see in your downtown. So with people living there, they're the eyes on the street. They're using the services in the evening. They're activating the sidewalks and streets during the weekends. So this is a very broad benefit to our downtown. I talked a little bit about the feasibility of these projects. I think that one thing that I'd like that resonated with me, I just read these slides last week. The fact that 93% of the grants went to rural, I think is a bit of a sign that the need there is very high. So I hope that going forward, rural is always kind of in the back of your minds making policies. I think that they probably were able to make that case that there's great need. And so that that was an interesting discovery when I saw that. So thank you for hearing our story. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Chair Lively, committee members, I'm going to apologize in advance. My public testimony etiquette is probably lacking. So if I do something wrong, please excuse me. My name is Rob Crocker. I actually grew up in Reedsport, kind of at the end of the lumber wood products heyday. And downtown Reedsport, when I was there, was just a blighted armpit. I mean, there was junk dealers and you know, a couple small businesses, but really nothing to enjoy. I went away to college in Arizona. I came back in 1999 and I started a small business. I started a video production company that I moved to Portland after I got married. And within a few years, I had some mentors. One mentor said the best thing he ever did was he bought his building to pay himself rent. Another mentor said his biggest regret was not buying a building to pay himself rent. So I decided pretty early that I wanted to buy a building. I couldn't find anything in Portland, and I literally stumbled across Oregon City, downtown Main Street, Oregon City. At the time, most of the county offices had recently vacated Main Street, so it was a shadow of its former self. What most people saw as kind of blighted and ugly, I saw as a lot of potential. So with a partner, we ended up buying a building, filled it up, put my company into it. The company grew. My partner and I, in real estate, bought another building, and before you know it, over the course of 10 years, we'd purchased 10 different buildings, all on Main Street, nine different buildings, all on Main Street, all within three blocks. And just the energy that we got from taking those old buildings that most people saw as blighted and ugly, they wanted nothing to do with, and just with some imagination and some creativity and working with this Oregon City was instrumental, as well as the Main Street program, turning those blighted buildings into something that was really energizing and that the community could get around, could rally behind. Those buildings ended up attracting new businesses as well as relocating businesses. Those buildings ended up housing 120 full-time employees out of space that was literally unused. Not only that, but the property values increased by an average of 170%, which obviously increases the county's tax revenue considerably. Our taxes when we first bought some of them were like $3,000, and once they were renovated, up to $7,750. So, but we didn't mind paying that because we knew that it was doing good things for the community. There was a lot of very important public-private partnerships, both with Main Street as well as Urban Renewal in Oregon City was very important. And just to have great people that wanted to partner with us and be solutions-focused made a really big difference. Another thing that's very crucial to our experience with Oregon City was the Main Street program. Sherry had mentioned, it was kind of reinvigorated in the state of Oregon in 2007, and that's exactly when we started what was then called Main Street Oregon City in 2007. I was one of the founding members of the Main Street committee then. And, we brought together energized business owners, building owners, elected officials, as well as, local community activists and volunteers. And we did some amazing things. We not only restored and renewed kind of the physical energy of the place, but also renewed the community pride, the sense of community pride in downtown Oregon City, as well as it raised the visibility in the region and the state. So much, in fact, that last year Oregon City was named a Great American Main Street. For the first time ever, that award was given to an Oregon City, and now it's been given to actually a city to the Alberta Main Street program, which I think is a real testament to the strength of the Oregon, the state's Main Street program. I think is doing clearly doing amazing things. I want to talk a little bit about housing on Main Street. It's been made abundantly clear by everyone in the state, including, the governor, Governor Brown, that housing is a real challenge. And especially in these rural areas, in talking with city managers, talking with elected officials, they can't get developers over there to build apartment complexes or build houses. They're not interested in doing it for whatever reason, at least the cities that I've been to, especially along the coast. So I think in my experience, over the past five-ish years, I've actually gone to other small communities because I just love the energy of small communities. I love the reinvention or the potential reinvention of small communities. I have a long history, obviously, in Reedsport and in Coos Bay and that South Coast, but also my parents grew up in Goldendale, so they always went to the Dalles. So I have some affinity for the Dalles, and there's just so many awesome opportunities with these vacant spaces in these Main Street cores that are not being taken advantage of. And I think ultimately it comes down to a few things. One, there's a lot of property owners who've owned them for a long time and just aren't interested in renewing and investing more into it. And then the other thing is there's a lot of, it's just hard. You know, if you want to turn second stories into residential, all the hurdles that come with that, you got fire, life, and safety, so you got to do sprinklers. Sometimes you got to do elevators. You got almost all those old buildings have hazardous materials you have to take care of, structural issues. So for most developers, they're just not willing to do it. The risk just isn't worth the reward on those things. So you have to find people, developers and or building owners, who have a passion for these kind of projects, who have a passion for creating community and space. And then, you know, more often than not, you have to have some kind of public-private partnerships. You have to have opportunities like these Main Street grants to help these things happen. If you look at, you know, looking at what was presented here, you know, there was 55 housing, new housing starts basically with some of these grants. And I just did the math based on what I saw, and it looked like about $1.2 million invested to create 55 new housing units. Now, if you look at that, that's what, $21,818 in public assistance basically to create these units. Now, if you look at a lot of the federal programs, they're thrilled if they can get a housing unit for $75,000 in public assistance. So for this program to get basically these housing units created for a little over $20,000 a unit is unbelievable. So it's not just about the historic preservation, which is incredible. We need that. It's not just about economic development, but it's also about, you know, doing the right thing, creating housing at an affordable unit. I would also say, to reiterate some of the things, you know, it's not just about historic preservation, economic development. When you get people living downtown, that's exactly right. We want to turn 8-hour communities into 14-hour communities where people are active there from 7 to 11 at night rather than 9 to 5. And the Main Street program really does that, and these grants are so very important. You know, when I'm thinking about future development, and I'm getting long-winded here, I apologize. I'm just so passionate about this. If we could think about each of our communities and think about where were they in their heyday, what was the heyday of Canby? Was it the 1920s? The Dalles, probably early 1900s. Reedsport, maybe 1950s. You know, what did those downtowns look like? The energy and the people and the businesses. And if we could do something in each of our communities to kind of bring back that energy of the heyday, you're never going to go back to them. But if you bring back and think about all the new you know, residents you can have downtown and the new local businesses and the services, it's just really inspiring. And what you guys have done by funding this Main Street grant program is going a long ways to helping that happen. And I think as we continue to do more of these, they're going to snowball, and you're going to see even more amazing results from this. And I would strongly encourage the continuation, and frankly, I'd love to see $5 or $10 million every year, not just every 2 years. I think you'll see a lot of great results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I apologize. We have to be back on the floor at 2:00. Looks like we're already late, but I'm going to close the information hearing, and members that are left at this Wednesday will be our last committee meeting. We're going to try to finish up with our discussion about Business Oregon and that, but some of that may carry over in the short legislative days and the short session too. So thank you all for being here. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.